Trade-driven economic growth on its own isn't necessarily what rankles free trade critics. It's more of a question of who benefits and who gets hurt. Julie Carlson is co-director of the New York City chapter of Stop the FTAA, a coalition of hundreds of activist groups throughout the U.S. and Canada.
What kind of economy do we want to have? You know, do we believe that it's important that everybody has, you know, access to meet their basic needs? Do we think it's important that people have living wage jobs? Is it important that we have environmental standards?
Carlson and other FTAA critics say while free trade supporters claim good jobs and the environment are important, these factors play second fiddle to the profit margins of global corporations. They point to NAFTA as proof. The North American Free Trade Agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico is largely considered the template for the FTAA. Trade between the three countries since NAFTA was signed has boomed, but the effect on jobs depends on who you talk to. The U.S. Department of Labor says 300,000 U.S. manufacturing jobs were lost directly because of NAFTA. Many were stable union jobs that sustained Great Lakes area families for generations. But a retooled, more diversified economy in the region based on medical, pharmaceutical, and computer software exports is benefiting from NAFTA-related growth. That's according to George Cooper of the Council of Great Lakes Industries. He says the new high-tech jobs are better, too.
The kinds of jobs we're retaining are the kinds of jobs that allow us to earn more and therefore be healthier participants in our economy than we would have if we kept those low-paying, low-skilled jobs.
Unions, however, don't paint such a rosy post-NAFTA picture. They've seen the solid blue-collar jobs of the Great Lakes become low-paying jobs in Mexico. Over a million more Mexicans get paid below their country's minimum wage now than before NAFTA. And in the U.S., both part-time and temporary work have skyrocketed, while wages have remained stagnant over the past decade. Thea Lee, chief international economist for the AFL-CIO, says free trade has crippled labor's bargaining position. When unions demand higher wages or better working conditions, companies threaten to move. Lee calls it a race to the bottom.
It's not a question of the United States against Mexico and Canada. It's a question of workers trying to assert their rights and trying to protect those rights, and corporations using the mobility and the flexibility they have through the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Expand that to the entire hemisphere with the FTAA, Lee says, and workers in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will have to compete with those in Honduras, Argentina, and Colombia as well. FTAA critics say this race to the bottom drives environmental concerns, too. Dan Seligman with the Sierra Club says corporations looking to cut costs seek out areas with lax environmental regulations. Mexico has seen a dramatic increase in toxic waste sites, pollution, and deforestation. But Seligman says the U.S. won't go unaffected. Corporations can also use NAFTA to challenge state and federal environmental standards in this country.
NAFTA contains what we call polluter rights, which actually empower private corporations that are investing in another country to sue governments if they adopt laws that happen to hurt the company's profits.
Wisconsin, for example, has been sued for a moratorium on new mining investment, California for a ban on a toxic gasoline additive. Low costs and big profits for companies, though, mean cheap goods for consumers. Free trade supporters say all those consumer gains and prosperity outweigh the other losses. But Julie Carlson says in the long run, more people lose through setbacks in environmental, labor, and public health standards. She says there's a way to balance globalization, though.
We want globalization, but we want globalization of rights for the people and of individuals, and not increased authority of corporate monopolies to have economic control over our lives.
And that, she says, is what the FTAA agreement would do, increase the economic control of big companies to the detriment of the average citizen. Activists, meanwhile, are proposing a fair trade, alternative agreement of the Americas. They hope to get those ideas on the table in Quebec City before the FTAA deal is done. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm David Summerstein.